This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
In my part of the country, the seemingly constant rain has finally come to an end and the sun is shining again. And as if by clockwork, we've been issued with a hosepipe ban. For those of us lucky enough to have clean water on tap, the occasional inconvenience of not being able to water the garden serves as a reminder not to take this vital resource for granted. I'm Harry, a content manager here at LGM, and I'm joined today by ETF analyst Eliza Piscopiello to learn more about water scarcity, the factors behind the problem, and how technology might help. Ellie, can you start by giving us some numbers around supply and demand for clean water and the outlook for the decades ahead?
Hi, Harry. Perhaps we should start by explaining what we mean by the term fresh water. Because water covers approximately 70% of our planet, it's easy to take it for granted. However, only around 3% of the world's water is indeed fresh water, meaning not saline and suitable for processing into drinking water. And 2/3 of that is tucked away in frozen glaciers or is otherwise unavailable. With the global population expected to rise from 7.9 billion today to 9.7 billion by 2050, according to the UN, it's never been more important to make the best use of this priceless resource. According to other estimates by the UN, the demand for water in urban areas is expected to grow by 80% by mid-century, and only by the end of this decade, demand for fresh water will exceed supply by 40%. Meanwhile, leaks represent a major problem for water supply systems globally. Annually, 32 billion cubic meters are lost through leaks. This is a real water crisis that has been created by three phenomena. First of all, the mismanagement of currently available resources due to high waste and also old infrastructure, the pollution of aquifers, and alterations to the entire water cycle caused by climate change.
Thanks, Ellie. That 40% figure about the extent to which demand will exceed supply really brings home the scale of the problem, doesn't it? I know that the end of March marked UN World Water Day, which always focuses attention globally on this issue. I'm sure you were listening into the various speeches that were given at the event. What were some of the big messages that you picked up on from this year's session?
A figure that sticks with me is that in just 2 years, 1.8 billion people are expected to live in regions with absolute water scarcity. And this explains why water is one of the fundamental sustainable development goals of the United Nations. There were several themes that were highlighted at the UN conference this year that explain how water is not only important for agriculture and hygiene, but also for other purposes. Among the themes that were discussed were the importance of access to clean water for hygiene, of course, but also the value of water for sustainable development, the importance of water in the context of climate, biodiversity, and reducing environmental risks. And also they discussed the role and importance of international cooperation when it comes to protecting water supplies. The World Water Day is a vital way of focusing minds on these messages around the world, but there are other annual events that are worth highlighting in which industries and companies come together to discuss opportunities and developments in the water sector. One of these events is the Global Water Summit, this annual event that was held in Berlin just a few days ago for 2023. And one of the messages that came out of the event was the scale of the investment that is going into this sector. In fact, the value, the total value of projects and investments that were discussed at this summit alone came to $150 billion.
Well, thanks, Ellie. That's a great high-level explanation of water scarcity, what's caused it, and the millions of people around the world that it affects. I wonder if we can turn to some specifics now. I'm curious to know what problems innovators in the space are focusing on today.
One big question for companies operating in the water sector is how can we distribute water to everyone in an efficient manner? And this question is only growing in importance as some big regions of population growth are located in areas of water scarcity and water pressure, if you think of coastal areas, for example. Another question is really two other connected questions. So how can we avoid water losses and how can we reduce consumption in the developed world? And there's so much we can all do at home to reduce the amount of water that we consume. Finally, how we treat water before putting it back into the environment is another vital one because it has profound implications for the global ecosystem. To me, finding answers to these questions is what makes this such an exciting theme to work on. The importance of finding those answers is why, when we invest in the clean water theme, we don't only look at utility companies, but we focus on those enablers and industry disruptors that use their technologies and expertise to enhance distribution and water management efficiency.
That's an interesting point you just made about avoiding water losses and how that could be connected to reducing consumption. I wonder if, are you talking about better monitoring there, how we can identify leaks in the network and also incentivize consumers to be responsible in the way that they use water at home?
Yes, that's right. Smart meters can play a role in targeting leaks across water networks by offering utilities and individual consumers access to detailed information on their water consumption, while also enabling consumers to see how much water they are using. According to Severn Trent Water, here in the UK, 30% of water leaks come from the customer side, predominantly in pipework outside homes. And smart meters can help identify these leaks, which are otherwise really hard to spot. In the UK, the smart meter network is past the 21 million mark, but also elsewhere, this is a growing market. In Europe, more than 20 million smart meters were installed in 2020. And installations are expected to increase by about 40% through to 2027. In terms of the savings that smart meters could deliver, independent research shows that coordinated rollout of smart metering across the UK would deliver £4.4 billion in benefit to society against cost of £2.5 billion, representing a net benefit of £1.9 billion.
So aside from smart meters, which I suspect we're all quite familiar with today, I wonder if you can give us any other examples of how digital technology is being put to use in the water sector and what role technology might play in the wastewater management side, perhaps by helping deal with floods, which I know are an increasingly common problem in many parts of the world, including the UK.
Yeah, this is a growing problem. Also because water networks age and they require regular maintenance and replacement too. And sometimes problems such as blockages can aggravate the situation and cause huge spills of untreated wastewater into the environment, which has an environmental and financial cost. And many times these issues are caused by small problems like little blockage or overflow due to storms. And these build up until a leak or flood occur, and then people can actually realize. Of course, improving the infrastructure can help, but technology can help too by enabling utilities monitor their assets in real time and identify risks and act before these become bigger issues. This happens through sensors that are installed in sewer systems and send data to operators through AI-powered models, so with artificial intelligence. These systems can also use machine learning and predictive analytics to compare the current situation of these water systems with historical data and predict emerging issues. So, for example, when an overflow is about to happen. And this is great to prevent unwanted wastewater, you know, untreated wastewater discharges, to protect marine life, keep bathing water clean and with no health risks, and reduce the financial cost of these events. And it is also very good because this type of system saves time that people would otherwise spend analyzing all this data that comes from the sensors.
For investors who are interested in this as a thematic area, are there any points about the makeup of the companies that are involved in this area that you'd highlight?
It comes back to something we touched on a moment ago. The water industry is much broader than just utilities. Utility companies are an important part of the industry, of course, but it's worth remembering that some of the biggest water utilities actually focus on other areas such as electricity and gas. If you're looking to get exposure to the clean water theme, it is important to seek that level of purity to the theme and really do the research properly. So instead of finding yourself invested in large, diversified conglomerates, you can invest in utilities that are deriving solely or, you know, almost solely deriving their revenues from the provision of water services. Many water utility companies will leverage technologies and digital solutions provided by other firms too. And other companies that investors might want to consider in an allocation to the clean water theme include water technology and solution providers, as well as water engineering companies that look after more the infrastructure and the equipment, the components. These companies can provide innovative solutions that can allow efficiency gains along the entire water infrastructure, so better distribution of water and better resource management. And as we said before as well, this can be achieved by sensors that are deployed across the pipeline network to detect leaks. Cloud databases are also used by utility providers in order to continuously monitor water quality and composition.
So it's really clear that technology is already having a big impact on how water resources are managed today. But I wonder if we can look a bit further into the future and think about what sort of developments we might see going forward. Are there any potentially game-changing solutions that are on the drawing board today but could soon become reality?
Other companies are leveraging technology to purify water to levels 1,000 times greater than our typical drinking water. Such technologies are essential to get to a point where the exact amount of chemicals and minerals is being used in order to manage clean water as efficiently as possible. Some of the key applications of ultra-pure water include steam generators within the energy industry, injections within the healthcare industry, and microanalysis. The semiconductor manufacturing process, which is essential for so many devices that we use on a daily basis, requires ultra-pure water because wafers and liquid crystal panels must not be contaminated with foreign particles. There are new technologies as well that allow water monitoring in a much quicker and more efficient way than what is done today to obtain a full picture of all the compounds that are found in water. Currently, these processes are carried out in a lab, so they take days, but there are innovators that are trying to develop systems to enable these processes real time with sensors and monitors, something that we call photonics. This can be extremely helpful for utilities, but as we discussed, the need for clean water extends beyond that and covers the food and beverage, packaging processes, and water as an ingredient, and other industries. This type of innovative research is being carried out in space too, to analyze and reuse water as much as possible and directly on site.
Well, thanks so much, Ellie, for that deep dive, if you'll pardon the terrible pun, into the clean water theme. To end this podcast, I wonder if you've got any practical water-saving tips that listeners might want to try at home.
I'm sure everyone knows about not running the tap while brushing your teeth and limiting use of garden sprinklers. So here are some others I've heard that are a bit less familiar. Fit low-flow aerators on taps and showers. These are cheap adapters that aerate the water supply, which means you get the same water pressure but use much less water. Some water companies actually give them away for free, so it's worth checking with your provider. Then try filling a jug with water and putting it in the fridge in the morning, ready to drink throughout the day, instead of running the tap until it gets cold every time. You might be surprised, but running the tap for cold water often means you waste more than you drink. Another good idea is to use leftover cooking water or water from rinsing your vegetables to water your plants. Though I should say my mom once watered some of our house plants with the water she'd used to cook broccoli in, which resulted in the house smelling quite strange for several days. So perhaps it's better to do this in the garden rather than indoors.
Some great tips there, Ellie, and point taken about the potential dangers of recycling your broccoli water. I'll make sure I only use it on the garden. Thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2023. Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission. For professional investors only.